is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to expose the truth behind the mirage of current events, or instead of mirage, we could say illusion. You know, a mirage is when you see something that doesn't exist. Usually it occurs like if you're walking in the desert or something and you're dehydrated and your body's baking in high temperatures and you enter like a hallucinatory state where you see a mirage. So you imagine this oasis of water and palm trees and stuff. And people who are in a deep dehydrated state in the desert can often bend down and they think they're scooping up water, but they're scooping up sand. Of course, they spit it out, and of course, this only happens when you're about ready to die from the high temperatures, the sweat, and extreme weather. But even in California, driving on the freeways at certain times and certain freeways, when it's very hot, you'll see the heat. Well, you don't really see the heat, but it's like you see the heat shimmering above the freeway. And that's what that is. The shimmering of the heat coming from the freeway is a mild form of a mirage. So what's happening in the United States right now, what's happening in the European Union, Great Britain, and nations on other continents, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, the Americas, different states in the USA, is that there is an illusion that people are locked into. Now, you and I know that. You and I have spent part of our lives researching, reading, listening, inquiring, and most of all, using. We're crying out loud. We're using our God-given minds. But think of how many people you know and I know, or we meet, or we see on television constantly, the parade of fools, literally a parade of fools who are dressed in very expensive clothes usually, and they have their faces, they've gone through all kinds of surgery and Botox, etc., and they have lighting directors and professional makeup people to make them look forever young. But it's an illusion. It's an illusion. And despite the fact that they speak on man-made thrones of pomposity, I don't know if that's a word, but I'll use a artistic literary license to take the word pompous and just coronate them as they want to be coronated in pomposity, because they speak hollow and empty words. They don't know what they're talking about. And they are getting paid big bucks, limousines, and all kinds of things, mansions, multiple mansions. But part of the deal is, and they know it, by the way, they know it. Part of the deal is they keep their mouths shut. They continue to empower the parade of fools. They don't pop the bubble in the collective illusion. Because you see, this earth that we live in, planet Earth, the truth of the matter is, despite what all the experts say, so-called experts, the Bible has a very interesting verse in it. It says, professing to be wise men, they are as fools. I think of all the people who parade themselves on television or other media, professing to be wise men or wise women, but they're fools. Why are they fools? Because in their pompousness, again, I don't even know if that's a real word, they act as if they have a handle, some special knowledge on the truth. But the reality of the matter is they don't know diddly squat. And I could use other words, but I won't. And what do they not know diddly squat about? The very basic, elemental, foundational truth of your existence and my existence, which is that we were created by an infinite personal living God of the universe, the Creator, to be here on planet Earth. He has a destiny for us, and that we are not an accident. You see, this notion, but it's not a notion, it's a lie. It's a lie invented by the serpent of old, Lucifer or Satan. It's a deceitful lie to impregnate the hearts and minds of men and women with a lie that shapes people's identity in a bad way. And the lie says, we're just here by accident. There's no reason or purpose for your life. What a lie that is. But you see how they build lie upon lie upon lie? Why? Because they're serving their father, Satan, who's the father of lies. Satan is the father of their lies. And people who serve Satan are children of the lie, because they begin their lives and they live their lives in a lie. They proclaim that there is no God, and that that's a fairy tale, or like Joseph Campbell's books, that Christianity or whatever is a myth to live by. Baloney. It's not a myth. It's not a mythology. When you look at the complexity of DNA, when you look at the complexity of the stars, the galaxies, the gravitational pull, the moon, the sun, the planets in rotation, the way our entire ecosystem works, the way children are born and conceived, and the way that the symmetry of anatomy, you know, two eyes balanced, a nose, nostrils. There's an artistic design to the human body. Otherwise, we'd just be a blob. So they perpetuate the lie. And if anyone dares to speak out against the lie, they're attacked, ridiculed. There are attempts to marginalize them, or they will use psychological warfare, if you want to call it that, by saying, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. What, that a creator God created us is a conspiracy theory? What are you, nuts? What are you, crazy? You see, they need to perpetuate the lie, because the truth of the matter is all men and women were created by a creator. The truth of the matter is planet Earth, the galaxies, the universe, all of creation was created by the Creator, capital C. And so here we are in this earth right now, and what the Creator, capital C, has communicated to mankind through various means. God communicates through his word, the word of God, Genesis to Revelation, the Old Testament and the New Testament. God communicates to mankind through his still small voice. God communicates to mankind through the inner conscience of men and women. And even if people haven't, quote, heard the gospel, or even if they have not had some kind of biblical instruction, the reality is that the law of God is written on their hearts. So they know that if they do something evil, like do something horrible to a little child or whatever, the law of God in their heart condemns them. They know it's wrong. They don't have to be told it's wrong. They don't have to read it somewhere. They don't have to have some kind of religious training. The minute they think about doing some evil act, the Spirit of God energizes the law of God in their heart, and they know it's wrong. They know it's evil, but they choose through an act of their will to smother, to silence that word of God and carry out their evil deeds anyway. Let me read you something, what God's word says about this. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. In the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, and it was written basically in AD 57. And let me read you Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. And we see that God created all men and women, and that they know the truth deep inside themselves. That's why they're going to be judged for willfully turning their backs on God and denying God. And then the other thing that it's important to understand is that God has revealed himself, it says in verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. This is talking about the fact that the existence of God is evident when you look at creation, when you look at mankind, when you look at little babies, when you look at the sunrise and the sunset and the oceans and the flowers and the mountains, et cetera, et cetera. It all is an anthem of worship declaring that God is God. So what's happening now? That's the key question. What's happening now? Well, what's happening now is what the Bible has prophesied for thousands of years. You see, the Bible is unlike any other religious book ever written. The reason for that, none of the other famous religious or spiritual books written contain thousands of prophecies which have come true exactly as the Bible predicts. None of the other books have that 100% track record. Those books are filled with errors and mistakes. Their leaders or their gods are imperfect. The Bible is the only book that all the prophecies in the book are true. And they're true in a way that there's no possibility that they could have been made up or manufactured. So the Bible predicts the time period that you and I live in. So when you hear the term, which people are using with increasing frequency, that we're in the last days, that we're approaching the end of the age or the end of days. The reason we know that is that the signs that the Old Testament prophets gave concerning what would happen in the last days, it's happening now right before our eyes. What Jesus Christ said would happen in the last days is happening now. What the apostles said, it's happening now. What the book of Revelation and other books warned about what would occur in the last days, it's happening now. And so this pandemic that we're experiencing on a global level, it is unprecedented in human history. Now, there have been plagues. There have been disease outbreaks, massive ones throughout history. But when Jesus Christ talked about the signs of the times, they are occurring right before our eyes at a level that the human race, we're all part of the human race, these prophetic signs that Christ warned about in Matthew and other places are happening at a frequency that has never happened to the human race before. So, for example, in Matthew 24, Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples. Let me read starting at verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not know? Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." So Christ was talking and teaching his disciples right before he ascended into heaven. And behind them was Herod's temple, this magnificent Jewish temple. And Jesus was giving them a prophecy that this temple would be destroyed. And this temple was destroyed in 70 AD, not that long after Christ ascended into heaven. The Roman general Titus invaded Jerusalem, and the Roman armies tore apart the Jewish temple, and nothing was left. It was a pile of rubble. Over 1,100,000 people, according to the historian Josephus, over 1 million people were slaughtered. There was blood running in the streets. There was gold that had been melted from the interior of the temple running in the streets. And the entire temple was destroyed, ransacked, and looted. The people were killed, slaughtered. The women were raped. And then finally, they sold a massive number of the Jews into slavery and shipped them to the four corners of the earth. It was horrific. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And then it continues on talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the critical thing that Jesus Christ is talking about is the signs of the times. And in summary, here are some of the signs of the times that Christ is talking about. First, there's rampant spiritual deception, and many saying, "I am the Christ," and people who will deceive many. Well, that's false prophets, false messiahs, false teachers, which are abounding in our day, and some are even springing up from the church. Then it says, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And when you translate those verses, the word that really that it should be taken from is the word ethnos, which we get the word ethnic group from. So Jesus Christ is talking about not just wars and rumors of wars. Jesus Christ is predicting that there will be ethnic conflicts, racial wars. Now think about that for a moment. Not just wars, and that is a prophetic sign, but racial wars in the last days, and ethnic groups warring against one another. Then Christ talks about there will be famines, and that, of course, means mass starvation, because you have no crops, no food for people. And then it talks about pestilences. Well, pestilence is a plague or a pandemic or a disease outbreak. All we have to do is open our eyes if you see a pandemic or a disease outbreak. And earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, when Jesus Christ talks about all these signs of the times, he doesn't say what the root origination point is of these various signs of the times. So when he talks about famines and pestilences and earthquakes, he doesn't say what's causing them. He doesn't say, for example, that they are caused by global warming, or they're not caused by global warming or climate change or whatever. He doesn't say that whether or not these calamities are natural phenomena, like the earth changing dramatically, and Jesus doesn't indicate whether or not these are actually man-made signs of the times. So, for example, when Jesus Christ is talking about famines, that implies starvation, droughts, food shortages, but he doesn't say whether or not these are caused by man-made mechanisms or not. So he leaves the door open to the possibility that they very well could be man-made. And that would also include pestilences or pandemics or disease outbreaks. Jesus Christ doesn't specifically indicate whether or not these disease outbreaks on a global level or these pandemics are simply natural Or are they diseases that have been manufactured in a laboratory? Or are they part of WMDs, weapons of mass destruction? Because when we talk about weapons of mass destruction, those are all man-made. And the primary weapons of mass destruction are chemical, nuclear, and biological. And I would add that weapons of mass destruction, since that term first became popularized, WMDs, which used to be thought of strictly as nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons, you would have to add to that electromagnetic frequency weapons, because those are growing in power. So you don't just have three categories of WMDs right now. You easily have a fourth, which is electromagnetic frequency weapons. And that's when you use specific electromagnetic frequencies in specific frequency range. And you can beam those frequencies via satellite or drones or through things like HAARP up in Alaska, where you beam a particular electromagnetic frequency and you can aim it at people or cities or continents or whatever. Now, you see, when you bring this subject up, you have a large number of Americans and people around the world who are dumbed down. The low level of consciousness that they exist in, which is based on a starvation diet concerning knowledge and wisdom and reading and research, causes them to have a very low level of consciousness, which means they have a very low level of awareness regarding what's really going on in our world today and what the agents are that are causing these things. So they walk around not only spiritually blind, but they walk around blind to facts that they should not be blind to. And that produces a low level of consciousness. Another way of saying that is they've been, through scientific engineering, they've been dumbed down. And even when you give them solid, credible, documented proof, oftentimes they'll resist it because they are committed and locked in to that low level of consciousness. So one of the things that you and I are called to do by God is to first and foremost break through that low level of consciousness, break through that spiritual blindness by communicating as effectively as we can the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ, his message of salvation, and to use the term win people to Jesus Christ, because the first and most important thing we can do is to present biblical truth to them and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them and Christ's message of salvation so that they have an opportunity to accept Christ and become saved and receive eternal life by faith. But in addition to that, although that's the most important category of communicating truth, we also need to communicate truth to them on many, many levels. And that involves being strategic and effective and presenting to them a biblical worldview where we present, we explain reality to them and what's happening in reality from the perspective of God's word. So let's take a area of tremendous controversy in our culture and cultures around the world. And that would be the controversy regarding abortion. And so you have huge numbers of people who believe that it's not a viable living human being or actual baby that is growing in its mother's womb. People who do not believe that that's a baby, in the sense of a real, conscious, living human being, they feel that because it's not truly a viable living being, they've renamed it a fetus instead of calling it a baby. And therefore, that alleviates conflict with their inner conscience if they decide to abort the baby. Because what it comes down to is, are you taking a real human life in its mother's womb? Or are you simply taking the life of a fetus? If you're taking the life of a fetus, well, in their heads, it's no big deal. But if that fetus is really a viable living human being, then it is a big deal. And so that's why Christians must enter the cultural, spiritual battlefield and present truth to people that sets them free. When Christians cop out, which they are prone to doing, then evil just keeps growing and spreading and growing and spreading. That famous philosophical statement, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing, that would apply to the Christian church when it defaults on its responsibility before God to not only preach the gospel of salvation, but to communicate the truth of the Bible in all areas of life, such as the sanctity of life and the issue of abortion. And you can go into all kinds of areas where there's a spiritual, moral battle. And evangelical Christians for the last 100 to 200 years have chosen to depart from their responsibility before God. They've rejected their biblical responsibility before God to speak out, to be salt and light in the culture. And because they have neglected their duties to be salt and light in the culture, evil has spread. And that is not the will of God. Not the will of God for evil to spread. Again, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men or good to do nothing. So, whether we like it or not, we are called to enter the spiritual battlefield, the cultural battlefield of our day, and lovingly and intelligently, and hopefully anointed by the Holy Spirit, we are to speak the truth in love to people regarding these different issues. Because what is the primary commandment of God? First, we love God, and then we love our neighbor as ourselves. And that would mean, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, that means the people that God has placed around us, they're our neighbors. So that could mean different geographic places or whatever. Those people are our neighbors. If we love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, that also could be applied to life in the womb. If you're growing a baby in your womb, and if you're going to acknowledge the truth of God's word, it's not a fetus. To say it's a fetus is a lie. It's a biological lie. It's a scientific lie to say it's a fetus. Because when a baby grows, and now when people want to abort a baby as the baby is exiting the mother's womb, or they want to kill the baby when the baby has completely exited the mother's womb. It's obvious from looking at the baby with the fingers, the eyes, the toes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that this baby is a fully viable human being. And then even when you look at babies through ultrasound, when they're very young, you can see what sex they are. You can see their anatomy, their fingers, the shape. You can see them move around. You can see them respond to different things. When my wife was pregnant with our first child, and she was pregnant with twins, on every occasion, when we went to the hospital and she had an ultrasound, we could see, and the nurse told us, and see if it was a boy or a girl, and see the outline of the entire body. And then the same thing with the twins. And with the twins, if there was a boy and a girl. And so, if you happen to be somebody, a woman specifically, who in your past you chose to get an abortion, I'm not bringing this up to condemn you, because every sin, including the sin of abortion, can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you don't, if you ask God for forgiveness, God will remove from you the condemnation, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you of all sin. And all sin means all sin. So no matter what you've done, past, present, or future, the blood of Jesus Christ completely cleanses you of all sin. So if you've repented and asked God to forgive you, you should not be continually condemning yourself. And then something that I need to add to that is that in the Christian church and in the culture, we make a horrible mistake in focusing in on women as the individual that sinned regarding abortion. And that's not using an honest measurement. The fact of the matter is, without the participation of a male, the woman would never have gotten pregnant. So if a woman is tempted to get an abortion or gets an abortion or whatever, that male, whether that male wants to own up to it or not, whether that male is still with the woman or not, that male is equally, and men, you need to hear this, you're equally responsible before God for the sin of abortion. You may not carry the baby, so it's not as physically immediate to you, but spiritually before God, you're equally guilty. And so, if women need to repent, men need to repent, because a woman cannot get pregnant without a man. So the male, no matter what his status, whether he's a boyfriend, a husband, a one-night stand, or whatever, you're equally responsible for God, and you have to repent before the Lord. Now, I'm not saying this again. I'm not saying this to make light of the sin of abortion, but by the same token, I'm saying that if you ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness for that sin or any other sin, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of all sin, past, present, and future. And that means, on a practical level, when God looks at you, you're a woman or a male or whatever, when God looks at you, he chooses to no longer remember the sin that you committed regarding abortion or any other sin because of the blood of Jesus. So God is not accusing you. God is not shaming you. God is not condemning you. God is not withholding his blessings from you because of the sin. Yes, the sin was horrific, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of all sin, and you've been made completely pure and holy in the eyes of God. And so when he sees you as completely pure and holy. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of all sin. And as long as we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing you of all sin, if you're listening to me, Paul McGuire, on this program, anywhere in the world, wherever you're listening to me now, across planet Earth, in the United States, out of the United States, there are many people listening to me, and you, as I speak, you are remembering sins that you have committed recently, a long time ago, today perhaps. They're coming to your mind. And all I can do is share with you the truth, because it's only the truth that will set you free. And here's the truth, 100% truth, okay? The truth is that if what you did, if what you thought, or whatever action you did, goes against what God's word clearly says, then the first thing that we have to do is deal with it. And yes, you sin. If you broke God's law, then yes, you sin. So, reason you feel condemned and convicted is because you sin, transgress the law of God in one way or another. And God sees everything. Now, here's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what makes the gospel of Jesus Christ different than the message of all other religions, religious traditions, mystics, gurus, prophets, or whatever. This is what makes the message of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection on a cross completely different from every other religious teaching. And this is the truth also. When you sin, and all of us sin, as the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's every single one of us. There isn't a person listening to me now who can say that they're sinless. Not one, including me. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have a sin nature. We're born with a sin nature because we inherit the sin nature from Adam and Eve. We have a predisposition with our fallen nature to commit sin. Even when we're born again and the Spirit of God lives in us and we're walking with Jesus and we're reading his word and have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we still sin. All of us do, because the standard of God's holiness is 100% righteousness, and none of us can live up to that standard. So here's more of the truth that will set you free. When you sin, and you do sin, and I sin, you ask God to forgive you. You repent of your sin before God. You name the sin specifically before God, and you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of the sin or sins. And you ask Jesus Christ to cleanse you by his blood of your sin or sins. When you do that, God will be faithful to cleanse you with his blood and cleanse you of any sin or sins you may have committed. Therefore, you're cleansed of your sin. Now, there's an additional requirement. In order for this forgiveness of sin to go into effect and to be activated, you must first be born again. Because you see, the biggest sin that you've committed, assuming you've not been born again, is that you were born with a sinful nature, a fallen nature. So you're born in a state of sin. You're a sinner by birth. The only way to change that is to come to Jesus Christ, ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins through his blood, and then invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and make you born again by the Spirit of God. When you do that, you're born again. You become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, a brand new woman or a brand new man, because all of your sins, past, present, and in the future, have been forgiven by God if you ask God to forgive you and if you ask Jesus to come into your life and make you born again. So that's number one. But number two is, as you're walking with God, as you're walking with Jesus in your life, you're going to sin. And then when you sin, you need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin or sins on a regular basis. And he will be faithful on a regular basis to cleanse you of all sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he does that, by faith, you are made perfectly righteous, holy, and pure before God. And as such, by faith, you're guaranteed entrance into heaven. Because in the eyes of God, you're sinless because you have claimed by faith the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you of all sin. So that takes the heaviness, that takes the torment, that takes the anguish that is occurring inside of you. Because the reality is, every one of us have, to varying degrees, a spiritual war being waged inside of us. We are all tempted to sin. We all give in to that temptation occasionally. We all sin. We transgress the law of God. And then there's torment and conflict and guilt, etc. But you can be set free of all of that. Come to Christ, first to be born again, and second to ask Jesus to cleanse you of all sin. It's not an accident that you're listening to this program, the Paul McGuire Report. It's not an accident that you're listening to me, Paul McGuire, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California. And you may be listening on the internet, your cell phone, a laptop, or on many social media platforms, many internet platforms, and people tune in and listen and watch throughout the world, because we have many people who are partners, either spiritually or materially, with this program, and they help reach you with this message by spreading it far and wide on the internet. And you know why they have to do that? Because there is a war against the truth, a war against God's message of salvation in Jesus Christ by the elite, the global elite that control and own all the mainstream media. They are waging war, whether they are doing it intentionally or by default, they are waging war against the truth. Because whenever they enact algorithms, bots, or policies which censor the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of Christ, they are in effect waging war against the truth and Christ's saving message. So it's not an accident that you're hearing me now. And what you need to know is, God arranged for you to hear this message, and God wants you to respond. So I want to make, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to make it perfectly clear as a servant, because I'm called not only to serve Jesus, but in love to serve you as a communicator of the gospel. I'm telling you the truth so you can, by faith, receive the freedom that the truth brings. And so the reason you're hearing this, God arranged it because faithful people help that happen. So if you are one of those people burdened by what you did in the past, there are people listening to me right now that you've done some horrible, horrible things, and you're tormented, and you're in grief. And then there are other people who have done a whole spectrum of things, but you're also tormented in grief. It's not fun sinning. You know why? Because after you sin, if you have a conscience, you're going to be bothered. And if you're saved, you're really going to be bothered. So I want you to pray with me, and there will be thousands and thousands of people joining us in prayer around the world, in the U.S. and other places. And if you understand that God is calling you now to come to Him and to repent, you should be wise, and you should take God up on His free offer of forgiveness right now. All you have to do is repeat these two short prayers I'm going to pray, and God will cleanse you and deliver you. And you can say them in your own words. You can say them out loud, or you can say it silently. So let's pray together now, because God is real. And when we pray to God, He hears us, because God is love. Let's pray. God's reaching out to you, and you need to respond. The call of the Holy Spirit is upon you now. You can feel the Spirit of God touch your inner man or touch your inner woman. You can feel it. You know it. And God's calling you to step forward and do kingdom business with Him. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ now, and He'll set you free. Repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, God, that you arranged for me to hear this message now. I praise your name, Jesus. Go ahead, say it out loud, or say it silently, but say it. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And if you need to name some sins before the Lord, then do so. Lord, I present to you these sins that I've done. I admit that I've done them, Lord. And I've repeatedly done some of them. And I've said, Lord, I promise you I won't do this again. And I went out and did it again and again and again. Lord God, I come before you now asking for your mercy. I ask you, Jesus, to cleanse me with your blood of all sin, past, present, and future. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for cleansing me of all of my sins by your blood. Now, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now and make me born again, Jesus. Come into me with your Spirit, Jesus, and make me born again, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are cleansing me of all sin right now. And I thank you at this moment, Lord, because I prayed this prayer in faith, that I am now born again. I thank you, Jesus, for making me born again. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me right now. I thank you, Jesus, that I am now guaranteed entrance into heaven, and that I am guaranteed eternal life, Jesus. I praise your name, Jesus. Now, for those of you that have walked away from the Lord, you can join in also. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you now. I thank you that you arranged for me to hear this message. I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit convicted me. I admit to you, Jesus, that I have walked away and rebelled in my relationship with you. I ask you to forgive me for turning my back on you, Jesus, and walking into a lifestyle of sin and rebellion. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me of all my sins with your blood. And I ask you, Jesus, to restore my relationship with you. I thank you that that's possible and you're doing it right now. I thank you, Lord, that your goodness is being displayed to me. I thank you, God, that you're forgiving me of all sins and that you have welcomed me back from my backslidings, Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you for filling me with the power of the Holy Spirit, anointing me to break the yoke of every sin now, in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, finally, I come before your throne now, Jesus. And whatever specific sins you want to give to the Lord, whether it's sin of abortion or whatever the sin is, you name it before the Lord. You can do it silently. Lord, I'm going to present these sins to you, Jesus, right now. I admit that I've broken your commandments and laws. I admit before you, God, that I have sinned. I ask you to cleanse me with your blood of all of these sins, Lord. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me and cover me from all the sins I've committed, Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, that right now by faith, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me of all sin. And I praise your name, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus, that the bondages are being broken, chains to sin are being snapped. There are many of you that are wrestling with the grip of sin. There are many of you, it's like you're swimming in the ocean and the force of the tide is stronger than your ability to physically swim, and the tide is pulling you out into more dangerous territory. Call on the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, I admit to you that I am chained, that I am bound, that I am in the grip, and then name the sins. I'm in the grip of this addiction, Lord, or this substance, Lord, or this habit, or this sin, or that sin. You admit it before the Lord. Jesus, I want to be set free. Cannot set myself free. So I ask you now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would break the grip of the addictions and the sins right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, God, that you're sending your power on me and that you're setting me free, God, right now in the name of Jesus. So finally, God, I ask you to fill me right now at this second. Fill me with power from on high through the power of your Holy Spirit. I praise you, Jesus, that you're filling me with power from on high. And as I praise you, and as I worship you, Jesus, bondages are being broken. Through the sword of truth, chains to attachments that I cannot break by myself are being shattered in the name of Jesus by faith. And I thank you, Lord, that the power of your Holy Spirit is sculpting and shaping into me as a new man or a new woman in Christ Jesus. I praise you, Jesus, for setting me free. Now I ask you to fill me with your holy power, the power of your Holy Spirit. Supernaturally, give me the ability to walk in freedom and to walk in victory. In Jesus' name I pray, and I thank you for this, Lord. Show me ways, God, where I can renew my mind and feed my soul so I can walk in victory. Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You know, as I was praying with you, I felt the presence of the Lord come down upon us. I sense the presence of the Lord come down upon countless numbers of you listening, and you're located in all areas on planet Earth. And I had a very distinct impression as I was praying that I don't normally have. And it was a distinct impression that among the groups of people who were joining us in prayer, that is a significant number of men and women who are either in military service or some kind of governmental or agency services. And you may be stationed anywhere on planet Earth, and you know who you are. I don't need to know who you are physically, but I want to tell you this: wherever you are stationed on planet Earth, especially if you're serving in the armed services or something like that, I want you to know that God Almighty knows where you are. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would dispense your most powerful guardian angels, Father, to protect every man or woman that was lifted up or cried out to you in prayer. Lord, invade with your armies of angels. Cause righteous reconciliation of conflicts, Lord. Protect all those who've cried out for your protection and help them. And if they're in difficult circumstances, make a way where there is no way, God. Send your angels to help them now, God, in the name of Jesus. So I sense that the angels of God have been released and they have appeared exactly where you are. And they're not there let's just put it this way. They are there because you called upon them. And every single person, male or female, who has called upon God for help, the God whose name is Jesus Christ, because he's the only God who died on a cross and resurrected dead and is coming back again. If you called on his name, and his name is Jesus, he sent his power and his angels to rescue you. And he will lead you back. The key is to continue to call upon him. And there are people all over the world who are listening to this program and across the United States who are prayer warriors. And they're intercessory prayer warriors with this program. And they have been joining us in prayer. So there's been a large number of people agreeing in prayer together for you, even though they can't see you. And then there's a large number of people who partner with us through their financial donations and contributions that make it possible technologically for us to reach you. And if you've never heard this program before, it's simply called Paul McGuire Report, and you get to our main website at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. McGuire is spelled mcguire.us, paulmcguire.us, all lowercase. And as you scroll down the first page, you'll see a list of all of our various social media platforms and internet platforms. You'll see hundreds of pages of free articles and pictures. You got access to free archives of all of these radio programs, the Paul McGuire Report, hundreds of hours of programming on different subjects. Then we have the video prophetic emergency alerts, hundreds of hours available to you free. And then you'll see the links, like we have our own Roku channel, Paul McGuire Roku channel. And by visiting paulmcguire.us, you can take advantage of collectively thousands of hours of Bible teaching, Bible prophecy teaching, ministry, interviews, books if you want them. We have powerful books. People want them, and they take them with them all across the world. I don't usually share this, but you know, when we send, just about every time we send books outside of the U.S., we lose a significant amount of money. Like sometimes it's $40, $50, $60 we lose per shipment of like two or three books. Now, why do we keep doing that? Because our ultimate goal is not money. Our ultimate goal is reaching you with the saving message of Jesus Christ. So visit paulmcguire.us. Write it down. Come back to us. You've got to feed your spirit, man or woman. If you don't feed your spirit, you're going to starve to death spiritually. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. Remember, there are people that are praying for you now, and you're going to see them when you are guaranteed entrance into heaven for all eternity, and you're going to show up in heaven. It's going to blow your mind. You will be given a brand new, glorified, perfect body, and you will go into heaven because of your prayer of faith, and Jesus Christ will look into your eyes and greet you, and you will meet all the people who have been praying for you, especially the people praying for you today at this second when we're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We'll be back in just about a minute. This is Paul McGuire. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. I want to thank God for all of you that make this ministry outreach across the world possible. I want to thank all of those of you that have chosen to be intercessory prayer warriors. Thank you for your prayers for me, my family, and this ministry. I want to thank you for spreading the links of our program far and wide. It's so important that you, when you go to our different internet platforms and social media platforms, I need you to join them, follow them, like them, get our free e-blast list and other things. We're not collecting a list for any ulterior motive, okay? That's not even on the table. But there is a war of censorship, and there are powerful forces that do not want the very things that we just talked about and prayers that we just prayed. There are powerful forces among what could be accurately called the globalist elite that don't want that. Now, if you want to understand what all that means, I have books for you to read, like The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, Conquering the Matrix, and other books that will explain to you in detail why we are right now, as I title my book, we are right now in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. That's why I titled the book with that title and explains it. Same with Conquering the Matrix and A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, and Mass Awakening, and the other books. These books are like meteorites, man. They will blow your mind and set you free. You say, how can that be? I don't know. But you'll get a divine download of information, and you won't be bored. You're not going to be very effective here on planet Earth if you have no clue, if you're among the clueless. If you choose, you know, God created you with a mind. And when he created you with a mind, God expected you to develop it and use it. One of the most powerful things you can do to grow your brain and supercharge it is to read. Any learning psychologist, psychiatrist, neurological scientist will tell you that reading books, because it's a multidimensional approach, you're looking at it, sometimes you're saying it out loud or saying it to yourself, and there's a cognitive process that is supercharged when you read a book. That's why almost all great men and women were big readers. Look, there's nothing wrong with the internet and stuff like that, but if that's your sum total of knowledge input, you're going to be a zombie. Night of the Living Dead. I actually had in the early days of my career, when I was a feature film producer of science fiction films in Hollywood, I would meet with all these filmmakers and studio heads and stuff. And I remember meeting instead of mental block. He directed the first massive zombie movie, and it was shot in black and white, but it was powerful for a zombie movie. It was called Night of the Living Dead, and the director's name was George Romero. And the whole zombie metaphor is, you know what it is. It's about creature. It's about human beings whose minds and souls have been taken over, either by an alien race or some supernatural power, and then they're like, they walk around destroying or cannibalizing other human beings. Well, I'm using the zombie thing as a parable, as a metaphor to teach a spiritual truth. When you allow yourself to not have input that sets you free, when you reject knowledge, which is power, and the truth that makes you free, when you allow yourself to become nothing more than a powerful globalist elite programmed you to become from birth, then you become, by default, nothing more than a zombie. Like Night of the Living Dead, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something like that. You become zombified like 28 days later. It's scary. And that's not how God created you to be. God created you to be a man or a woman of destiny and purpose. And so in my books, I tell the truth of the war that's going on against your mind. That's the whole purpose of my book, Conquering the Matrix. It explains scientific mind control, hypnosis, social engineering, propaganda in a very simple way. But you have to remember, the globalist elite is definitively using social engineering, etc., to program people. Because in the words of Aldous Huxley, who was the author of Brave New World, the name of the game, I'm paraphrasing, he said, the name of the game is to create a hidden, secretive scientific dictatorship or scientific elite, and they can control the masses of people all over planet Earth through scientific mind control and brainwashing. And when it's done right, Huxley said, we can program people to not only be our slaves and function as our slaves, we can program them to actually not have any clue whatsoever that they're slaves, but we can also program them to love their duties or servitude as a slave. Now, I explain this in my books, like Conquering the Matrix and The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, and you can get significant discounts right now if you go to paulmaguire.us and check out the book bundle discounts. Finally, I want to throw this out to you. As the title of my book says, we are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. If people would read my book, they would know exactly what is happening now in whatever nation they live, and they would know exactly what is coming on the horizon. In other words, the big question everybody's asking is, what's going to happen next? If you've learned the lessons from the past, it will tell you exactly what's going to happen next. It's not a mystery. I can tell you what's going to happen next. In fact, I have in The Greatest Battle, and I'm working on a brand new book that I'm going to offer very soon that will explain what happens next. Because if you understand what happened in the past, who did it, what their game plan was, then you'll know what's happening in the present. You know that what's happening in the present isn't an accident. It's planned. It's planned because the people who are running the game from behind, it's like the Wizard of Oz, okay? Everybody was Dorothy, and everybody was in the characters in The Wizard of Oz were terrified of the great and mighty Wizard of Oz because of his big, bold voice So you remember they're on the Yellow Brick Road, right? And they're on their way to the Emerald City. And they're terrified as this thunderous voice booms into the room where Dorothy is and stuff. And then Toto sneaks around the curtain, and they see that behind the illusion, behind the matrix, behind the virtual reality, is an old, short, kind of weak, frail man, full of himself and insecure, standing on a stool and bellowing through an electronic microphone. So the whole great and mighty Wizard of Oz mind control game was just that. It was a hypnotic illusion that was being used to control everybody. Well, that's what's happening now on planet Earth. The Grammy Awards. Look at all the Illuminati ceremonies, the Illuminati symbols that were blasted across the world through the Grammy Award TV show. Now, in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, and Conquering the Matrix, and A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, in those books, I explain to you in detail what all those Illuminati symbols mean. In fact, I name the names of all the different music superstars and entertainment superstars who are into Crowley and sex magic, who are into witchcraft. I was looking at a video yesterday doing research of Katy Perry. You can say whatever you want with Katy Perry. I like some of her music. But her particular video, where she's lying semi-nude on a table, and there's all this food placed on her body and flowers and stuff, and there's people sitting around the table eating, that's right out of a satanic ritualistic participation or event that was popularized in Manhattan by satanic artists that work with, like, Lady Gaga. I explain all this in the book, The Greatest Battle and Conquering the Matrix. I was actually reviewing those pictures when I was writing the book about a year ago, and there was a whole series of articles that came out in a very obscure Manhattan publication, and it was all about this new trend in this kind of satanic dining experience where Satanists, etc., like Maria Abramovic, who works with Lady Gaga, they're all eating around these nude bodies, which is an Illuminati thing, and there's all this food on top of the bodies. So why would Katy Perry, who pretends to be neutral, promote that ceremony? Why would Jay-Z and Beyonce and others, why the continual Illuminati symbols, Illuminati ceremonies? When I was taking my son to a Dodger game a couple of years ago, all right, in L.A., a lot of families there, fathers with their sons, you know, schools bringing young kids to see the game. And then, you know, the camera does close-ups on celebrities and stuff sitting in the audience. So the camera zooms up, and there's Jay-Z in a special box, and the television cameras do a close-up on him, and the whole nation's watching it. And Jay-Z, you know, everybody knows who Jay-Z is. And the words on his T-shirt say, "Do what thou wilt," which is one of the primary statements of the great Satanist Aleister Crowley. So there he is promoting Satanism to the entire nation. The kids know what it means. That's evil, man. That's evil. That's the summoning of dark demonic spirits. And these spirits are coming upon America and the rest of the world because they're being summoned from the abyss. You got to know what's happening, what the Bible says. You go to some lame Christian church, and I'm not trying to put down any Christian church. Don't misunderstand my usage of the word lame. I was trying to use that as a form of shock, because when you got churches where the people don't know that they're fighting demons, there's spiritual warfare, how to pray against this thing, then guess what happens? The Jay-Z's, the Beyoncé's, the Katy Perry's, the Lady Gaga's, and all those that are evangelists for the occult, they're going to take over, and the demonic spirits they're summoning. So our job, according to Jesus, is to occupy until he comes. Now, I explain all of this in my book in detail. I give an entire list of the leading superstars involved in witchcraft and Satanism. I have a whole chapter on a whole bunch of people that you would know. Leading football players who were married to Victoria's Secret supermodels, and the secret the model is a practicing witch, and she places like spells of blessing on her husband's football career. You got to wake up, man. We are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world, and the time is running short. It's running short. Visit paulmcguire.us.